This week on the Piffles podcast, we're happy to be joined by arguably one of the most popular riders of the last little bit, even though he only played two seasons here. All-star defensive end, three-time Grey Cup champion, Mr. Ricky Foley joins us on the line. Ricky, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Thank you. First question, 2013 Grey Cup. We got to ask right off the top. That whole season 2013 in Saskatchewan, what was that like?
Oh, that's a big question. It was amazing. It was my best experience with the CFL as far as game day, city excitement. It just felt like professional football. I was having a conversation today with one of my coworkers, and it just felt like professional football, how it's supposed to be done. Every game was pretty much sold out, all the home games. All the boys were veterans on the team that we brought in, and something very special. And, like you kind of alluded to earlier when you intro'd me there, like, played 12 years in the league, only two in Saskatchewan, but I don't hold any time or any team more dear in my heart than I do than the Rough Riders, that's for sure.
So three Grey Cups, one as a rookie, 2012, 2013 at home. Does one mean more to you than the other, or does one stand out more?
I'm fortunate enough, unfortunate enough, I never won any with the team back-to-back. I never won with the same group of guys more than once. But with that, they're very unique. All three of them are just the complete. I got to experience everything in professional football in the CFL, and that's why retirement's not too hard for me. I don't really watch games and be like, oh, I wish I could go out there. I don't really have that because winning as a rookie, that's something special. You're young. You're just kind of trying to follow the veteran guys, and very unique experience, and it's great. My first year, like, oh, man, this is awesome. Get a ring as a rookie, you get to bring it back to your hometown, and everybody celebrates that pretty good with your boys and your family and your college teammates. And then had to wait a little bit, but went down and did the NFL thing, which was also pretty fun and exciting, and got a taste of that, and then came right back to Toronto. And the 100th Grey Cup was, the hometown kid and with a bunch of my hometown boys and teammates and friends for forever. And the 100th Grey Cup in Toronto was a huge celebration that I got to do. And then that was more of a personal family Grey Cup. And the next year in Saskatchewan was just, the mecca of Canadian football, and the best fans, the best team, the best organization. And one-on-one was just something completely different than the year before. And I just enjoyed it so much from a personal level of for the other guys. Like, I just loved sitting there and just watching the other boys win it. It's kind of like seeing myself in the mirror of the year before. That was pretty cool.
Talking about back-to-back, in 2014, Vanjabold, Darien goes down. What were you thinking at that moment in time?
We were better in 14. Like, our team was actually better than 13. I guess because we were such a good team and we had such a good defense that we actually thought we could, still make a run and still, get, as long as we got to the playoffs, which we, we started like with 9-0 or something. And we knew as long as we would be in the playoffs and just win one and then roll our dice against Calgary in the Western Final and then get to the Grey Cup, maybe we could win, right? And when Darien went down, you're optimistic as a professional athlete, but he was the MVP of our team. As many good players as we had, it was tough. It was tough to lose Darien, and tough's an understatement, right? Like, that was when you look back at it now, it's easy to say, removed from the moment. Like, that was kind of the end of our season, right? We still, one of the funnest games I ever played, and that I lost for sure, was that I always remember that Western semifinal against Edmonton that year, man. Our defense like only allowed someone like 9 points or something, and we just balled. It was snowing out in Edmonton, defense was flying around, and despite like 5 interceptions or something, we still only lost 11-9, I think it was, and I think one of them might have returned for a touchdown or something. So anyways, it was a crazy game, but it's unfortunate when Darien went down for sure.
Now, following that offseason, you get traded back to Toronto. How did that go with you? Like, where were you when you got told, and what was your reaction at the time?
I was actually talking about that today, with the same conversation with a coworker. Like, there has been some rumblings, and I had informed people back east with the Argos, like Andre Dury and Matt Black, and they had told some of the people in the organization that I was going to sign. Me and Brendan Taylor had a deal already worked out. I was just waiting until the offseason to sign it and to announce it and whatnot. They had to do some things with salary cap and whatnot. But yeah, I knew I was going to sign with the Riders. I told them, like, I got a deal pending. I'm taking it. I don't want to come back home. You know, like, Toronto was great. Won there, cool. But I'm not leaving this situation. I'm playing out the rest of my days in a green uniform. And they got word back to the management and whatnot. I was signing. I was good. And so I signed, and I got paid my bonus on, I think it was January 1st. And I'm like, okay, things are great. And I'm with me and my fiance out in Vancouver. And, we were getting hooked up with jobs. She's a teacher. She was going to move to Saskatchewan, Regina, to get a job as a teacher. And then just got the call. And I woke up one morning, had like 15 text messages and like 20 calls. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And they're all Regina numbers. So I'm like, oh, man, what the hell's going on? What happened? And I called Brent Taman, and he's like, we traded you for Shamry back to Toronto. I was like, oh, man. So, good to go back to Toronto because it's home. And, some of my best friends in my life are on that team. So that was fun. But I didn't want to leave Saskatchewan.
I think there's a lot of fans here that probably think the same thing. They would have loved to have you stick your career out here. They're still asking for you to come back.
Sorry, I still would have been playing. That's the thing, too. Like, if I was still playing, I haven't said this publicly or otherwise, but I'd still be playing, honest to God, if I was still in Saskatchewan. Like, it's just the environment and, like I said, the quality of every game, like the game day experience, right? Like, that's what makes everything worth it. Like, the grind on your body as an older guy, the diet, the training, all that stuff that the work you have to do to put in as an older guy, it is more. And when you're playing in front of that crowd, though, in that city, especially with a new stadium, you know, too, like, I'd still be playing if I was in Saskatchewan, for sure, I would be. But it's not really the same anywhere else, and it kind of doesn't make it worth it. I know it sounds bad, but that's just me being kind of honest. It's just, yeah.
So you mentioned the diets and changing everything as a, you know, player getting older in his career. What exactly did you have to change in your training and getting ready to keep up with the young guys?
Yeah, I guess I was lucky because I was always a fast guy. That was kind of my thing, right? My thing was that I didn't have much football under my belt, but I was a fast, athletic guy, so that always helped me. But to keep up with the younger guys, it really just became about practice. Like, I could play once a week still. A lot of guys will tell you that into their 30s and late 30s and probably even the 40s, they say, well, I could still play once a week. And they could. I could. But the grind of the everyday practice, and nowadays practice is a whole lot more intense than it used to be when I first came in the league. You can't take any, I don't even want to say plays off, but if you're hurt, you have to basically take practice off these days. And I don't like doing that. So you kind of get in the struggle level of, you got to learn almost like you can't, nowadays you really can't play hurt, because if you do, you're going to show not being as fast, as quick, you know, or moving as well. And that, they attribute that to being age, right? Not necessarily being like your body's banged up. So, and then if you start taking days off practice, then coaches start thinking like, oh, he's getting old, he needs days off practice. So it's kind of a struggle every day of just, you know, having to go full go all through the week, not being able to bounce back as quick and then go play a game. That's the hardest part, right? And it's just the hours. It's not just the, you know, diet. It's the massage, the physio, and all this modern-day stuff that guys are spending money on their bodies. Like, there's guys down in the NFL that spend literally $1 million a year or more on their bodies and diet and training. And like I said, you got to be – yeah, to do that, I give those guys so much respect and admiration because – you know, that's a lot. Like, you don't have time for anything else. Like, you don't have time to set up post-football career. You don't have time really for your family. It's tough.
Now, looking back a few weeks ago, word got out that the CFL and the CFLPA were talking about dropping the ratio, the Canadian ratio, from 7 players to 5, or starters, as it were. You were pretty vocal against that at the time. What was the biggest reason for your... I guess, disagreement with that idea?
Number one, being a Canadian kid who, you know, in the CFL has given me and my family so much, I wanted to protect the interests of similar kids like me coming up. I think Chris Getzlaf had probably the most, you know, I get a little heated. You guys know me, I get a little animated, right? So, you know, I'm not as, I can be eloquent when I need to be, but other times if people are talking ignorantly, I'm just as easily can respond to you in kind. So that's, well, Chris Getzlaff had a great tweet, not sure if you guys saw it, and it just basically pointed out the fact that a guy like him would never have got a chance to be a starter in the CFL. And this guy, he's a great 1,000-yard receiver year after year, right? You're talking about a great player. And I kind of, I know myself and a lot of guys agree with that. Like, I didn't play football for more than 3 years in college. I didn't know what I was doing. I never would have been given a chance to start a defensive end. Like, there's no way. Like, I had to fight tooth and nail for 4 years to get an opportunity to play rush end. Like, there's no short side DN. Sure, like, Brett Johnson before me, he got a chance, but he only got a chance because he was Canadian. I played with him. I talked to him. And that, you're talking a Hall of Famer, defensive MVP, like a much better player than I was. And then I was on the wide side, and there was no Canadian to play the wide side defensive end, they told me, in BC for like 20-something years as a Canadian. So for them to give me that opportunity was just based on the ratio, but then I go out and lead the league in sacks and had a good career. So if you lower the ratio, you're going to be taking those opportunities away from guys like me, guys like Chris, guys like Brett Johnson, so on and so forth, who had a great career, pay it back to the CFL, pay it back to the community. You're going to be missing out on guys who are just American guys who are just like, okay, it was an opportunity to go to the NFL. And then they take off. They don't spend that much time in the CFL. They just take off the NFL, and it's like, okay, great. You know, like, that's not the way I think it should be. And lowering the ratio is just going to increase the pay discrepancy as well, which is most American guys' point. So that's my personal opinion, but that's just the way I feel.
What is Ricky Foley up to now?
My wife got married. That's one of the blessings in disguise, but it's not the biggest. It is the biggest. When I got traded from Saskatchewan to Toronto, then subsequently got released and retired. I went out to BC for a year. Me and my ex-fiance got back together again. We got married. I got my first child on the way, so I'm very excited about. And I'm bouncing back and forth between the coast doing construction and building some houses out here, and basically in the construction and land development with some farmland I bought off my dad. And I'm going to get into that game. I enjoy it. It's what gets me up out of bed in the morning, and I love it.
Now, one of the things you're kind of well known for here in Saskatchewan especially is you met a young lady out in Toronto. She actually had to fly out to come see you. But Tiffany, and I'm sure you know who I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
Tell us about meeting Tiff. What was that like for you?
That's just one of the things with Saskatchewan football, and I think the guys, the Rough Riders, the players, and they take that on very well, and we're very accessible, and every guy stops and talks to the fans after the game right outside of the old, at least they did outside of Old Mosaic, outside the fan shop, and the locker room, you have to walk through the fans to get out the parking lot, and one day I just saw Tiffany there, and she was there with the family, and I just noticed her, and I just went up to her and talked to her and said hi to her. A few other guys were saying hi to her, and I just joined in. And to be honest with you, it just kind of organically happened from there. And we started talking on social media, and the friendship just blossomed. And I plan on seeing her this weekend when I'm in Regina for the event, and her and her family. And that experience of her, you know, with the Sunshine Foundation, shouts out to them for fulfilling so many young kids' dreams. Like, that was probably the most humbling experience of my career when you think about someone, they get to choose basically anything they want to do in the world. And Tiffany's, you know, wish was to come see a game in Toronto with her and her family and watch me play. Like, that's I don't know. Like, you know, growing up as a kid, farm kid out here in Ontario, you never think that something like that's ever going to happen, right? You never think that you're going to do something in life or sports or whatever that someone's going to want that, you know? Like, it's that's pretty crazy. That's, you know, as I get older, my further away from my football career, it becomes more about stuff like that than it does about the rings or the championships. It's the people, it's the relationships, it's my ex-teammates, it's experiences like with Tiffany. It's that kind of stuff that really makes you, you know, proud of what the CFL has done for you and what you're able to, you know, do for other people.
Now, if you had one thing that you could say to her in person right now, what would that be? Actually, you know what? Do you mind if I cut you off for a second? I got a bit of a surprise for you. We actually brought Tiffany on the line here as well. Tiffany, are you there?
Yep.
Hi, Tiffany. I have a surprise for you. You don't know about this either. I have a friend of yours on the phone, Tiff. You might know him pretty well. You have a hat and I think a shirt as well. It says Team Foley, right?
Yep.
Good job, guys. A pretty good surprise. Way to set this up. Tiff, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yep. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. We were just talking a couple hours ago. So, did you know this was happening? I did.
I didn't know this happening.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I've got a Team Tiff hat too. Actually, it's funny. I think my last game in Saskatchewan was with the Lions. You remember that, Tiff, when you gave me the Team Tiff hat?
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Now, Tiff, I'm sorry. I feel bad because we said that we were going to talk about your paintings here, and we can talk about that a little bit later. But I was actually just asking Ricky here if he could say one thing to you right now. What would it be, Ricky? Do you want to answer that now?
Yeah, I'll see you Sunday. You got to pick a breakfast spot, though. You still haven't told me where we're going for breakfast, though. So you have to message me and let me know.
Okay.
So, Tiff, Ricky was just telling us about meeting you and what that meant to him. What did it mean to you to meet Ricky and now be friends with him?
It meant a lot. I just have his support through everything.
And what was the coolest thing about meeting him the first time?
Just how nice he was.
Ricky, is that true? Are you a nice guy?
Yeah, I don't know why nobody thought I was when I was playing, but yeah, I'm a pretty nice guy. I should say when Tiffany came to Toronto, she got to see my puppy, my little Snoopy, the dog as a puppy, and he's a big grown dog now. And we actually got to run into PK Subban. He trained at a gym across the street from my old condo, and he was pretty cool, pretty gracious. Do you remember that, Tiff, when I took the picture with PK?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, he was a great guy too. That was pretty cool of him to do that. So
now, Tiff, is there anything that you have anything for to say to Ricky right now?
I don't know.
Just a little bit in shock right now?
Yeah.
Well, sorry to spring that on you like that, but I just thought that was, you know what, if we're talking to Ricky Foley, we have to talk to Tiffany as well, right?
Yeah. I can hear the family. I think I can hear your family laughing in the background, too, so make sure you say hi to them for me, Tiff.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us here. Tiff, we're actually going to we'll talk to you a little bit later about your pictures. Just wanted to give you a little bit of surprise here. Did we surprise you?
Yeah, a lot.
A little embarrassed right now?
A little shocked.
Well, I hope that was a good little surprise for you, and we'll hopefully see you soon, Tiffany.
Okay.
Okay, have a great night.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye, Tiff.
Bye.
Hey, Ricky, sorry to kind of spring that on you there. That was just thought that'd be a good little fun thing to do with you.
Man, that was, you completely, it doesn't happen often. I don't get caught off guard that often, but you completely did tonight. So hats off to you guys. That was pretty cool. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks for playing along with us tonight. And thanks for taking time to talk to us. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Anytime, guys.
There we go. There was Ricky Foley. And of course, Tiff McLennan, you know her on social media. She is the CFL artist, wonderful young lady. And if you know anything about them, it was her dream to go out to Toronto and go see Ricky Foley and meet him, and she did that, and you heard about that here, and that was pretty cool to get them, surprise them and embarrass Tiffany a little bit, and I know she was a little bit shocked at that, so that was but that was a lot of fun.
I just love the fact you could hear her family laughing in the background.
Her mom knew about it, and that we were going to pull that off and do that to her. But you know what we'll do is we'll make it up to Tiffany, and we'll actually talk about her artistry. One of our next episodes coming up here, and we'll talk about her paintings and colorings and whatnot. So we'll do that a little bit later on.